Excellent, excellent. Well, again, good morning and welcome. As we walk into today, we're so excited to be able to continue this conversation weightless because there's just so many of us. Even coming out of last week and conversations that I've had, it's amazing just how prevalent it is that for so many of us, we walk around carrying these weights from our past. And we wonder why we can't get traction. We wonder why we feel stuck. But we're just carrying so much from our past. And then God has stepped into our lives. And we looked at this last week, how God, as he steps into our story, he steps in and says, listen, you can't live that way. And I want for you to be able to experience what those who've come before you have experienced. And I want for you to experience me in that way. And I want you to experience life in that way. And I want for you, as Jesus says, to not just know life, but to know life abundant. We looked at this passage last week, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, he says, listen, since we've seen so many who've come before live this life and experience it and the beauty of it and the power of it, he says, since we've seen it, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. He says, I want for you to live that. I want for you to know that. But if that's going to be the case, you have to get rid of those weights that are keeping you from it, those weights that are holding you down, that are slowing you down. As he continues in the passage, he breaks down the different weights that we can carry, one of which we see in verse 15, where he says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out so that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. He says, man, we've got to get rid of these weights, including bitterness, that unforgiveness from our past, that stuff we're carrying from our past. And it's remarkable. It's amazing how many of us, we live our lives carrying the weight of our past. And we don't know how to get rid of it. And at best, it's slowing us down. For some of us, it's crushing us. And God stepped in and said, you can't live like that. I want to show you how to let that go. I want to show you how to be able to let the past be in the past. Don't live life in such a way that the past destroys your future. I want to make sure that you don't live life in such a way that the past destroys your future. But if we're going to get rid of that weight, we have to learn forgiveness. We have to learn what it means to forgive, not just learn that we should forgive. As we said last week, a lot of us want to forgive. A lot of us want to get rid of that weight. But we don't understand what God's actually taught us about forgiveness. And for a lot of us, we believe a lot of lies as it pertains to this whole idea of forgiveness. I think. We don't just have to learn to forgive. We have to relearn forgiveness. And last week, we began to walk through that process. And it begins with understanding the forgiveness that God extends to you and the forgiveness that God extends to me. Because as God steps into our life, he says, no, you can be forgiven. When it comes to your past and the mistakes in your past, you can be and you can experience forgiveness. But it's not, as God steps into our lives, it's not that he's just sweeping it under the rug. It's not that he's just moving past it. It's not just, hey, I'm a good guy. He steps in and says, no, I want for you to be forgiven. But understand this, although our forgiveness is freely offered, it's not free. And we saw this last week, that our forgiveness is purchased, that it was bought, that it was paid for. And God says, you can be forgiven. Why? Because what's happened in the past, Jesus paid for that. Because it's been paid for. And this is so important. This is so important. Listen. Because again, we have to relearn forgiveness, and we have to change the way that we think about this. Because for many of you, you think that God's forgiveness is that we just don't care about justice. You think that God's forgiveness is an abandonment of justice. And so when God calls you to forgive, you think, okay, God's calling me to abandon justice. I just don't care about justice. I leave justice out of the equation. I just move past it. It's over. I forget it. And you move on. And we think that God's forgiveness is an abandonment of justice. But as God steps in and says, I want you to know that you're forgiven, God doesn't abandon justice. God says, no. As a matter of fact, I am just in forgiving you. How are you just? I'm just in forgiving you because it was paid for. Again, this passage that we looked at last week. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He says, this isn't an abandonment of justice. No, I'm just in this. Why? Because of the fact that it was paid for. And the scriptures make a big deal out of this. They make a big deal about God's justice in forgiveness. As a matter of fact, in Romans, when it's talking about God's forgiveness for us, it talks about how he was just in forgiving those who came before Jesus. And he goes into how God could forgive those who came before Jesus because of the fact that he was looking forward to Jesus. And he says, so he was just in the past as well, not just now. And he's talking about God's justice. You have to change the way that you think about forgiveness. It is not an abandonment of justice. As a matter of fact, listen, all of God's forgiveness and everything that God teaches about forgiveness is based on justice. Listen to me, because this is very different than the way that most of you think about God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness and what God calls you into in forgiveness, what God calls you to experience in forgiveness, is all based on justice. And some of you have a hard time with God's forgiveness because you think it's an abandonment of justice. No. If you think you're passionate about justice, you have nothing on God when it comes to his passion for justice. And God makes it very clear. No. It will all be made right. It will all be paid for. There is nothing. Listen to me. In God's story, and the story that God has brought us into, there is nothing. There is nothing that will not be paid for. God is passionate about justice. Why? Because love demands justice. Love demands justice. And the forgiveness that God teaches us, the foundation of it, the very foundation of it is justice. And so he says, you can be forgiven, not because we abandoned justice, but because it was paid for. In our rhythms passage for this month, it talks so beautifully about that. I want to take you there. For those of you who don't know, every month we have something we call rhythms. It's on your app. It's basically just us sitting with a passage for a month, not moving on, but just reading it on a consistent basis for it to just kind of seep into our lives, for not to just know it, but for us to live it. And this month's passage is focused on this idea of the fact that we've been purchased and the beauty of the fact that our forgiveness was paid for. Let me take you to the passage. It says this, for he, and it's talking about Christ. And in this passage, it celebrates Jesus. It talks about all these different aspects of who Jesus is and what Jesus has made possible. But it says, for he, talking about Christ, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. It was bought, who purchased. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. Like I said, as he's walking through, he celebrates all these different aspects of Christ, helping us understand who Jesus Christ actually was. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. And then listen to this. We're going to focus in on this next week. He says, for God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you, who were once far from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him, as you stand before him without a single fault. He's walking them through the beauty of who Christ is and what Christ has done for you. And he says, I want you to understand something. Your forgiveness is freely given, but it is not free. It was purchased. It was paid for. It is based on justice. We have to be very careful about the way that we think about forgiveness. And it begins with understanding what it is that God has done for us and the forgiveness that we receive with him. But it doesn't end there. It continues. It continues and it impacts the way that we engage those around us. So it doesn't just impact the forgiveness that we have with him, but it also impacts the way that we forgive. And for some of you are here and you're saying, well, I understand what Jesus has done for me, but what about what they've done to me? I understand what Jesus has done for me, but what about what they've done to me? And you look at this passage that we looked at briefly last week, just talking about how God calls us to forgive those around us. Again, found in Colossians, just a couple chapters later, it says, make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. God steps into our lives and says, no, I want for you to understand the forgiveness that I've made possible for you, but I also want for you to begin to move in forgiveness in the lives of those around you. And he steps in, he says, I want you to forgive anyone, everyone who offends you, who sins against you. I want for you to forgive. How in the world do you do that? And typically there are two responses that I find to this passage. The first one is, well, I don't like that, and so I'm going to skip this passage and move on to the next one. To be honest with you, that's how most people interact with this passage. Well, anyone. I'm sure in the Greek it means my friend. It can't possibly mean anyone. It can't possibly mean everyone. And we just move past it. Or we shrug it off as, well, you know, you can't be perfect. No one can be perfect. So this is one of those places where I'm not perfect. And I'm not, and we move past it. The other response is just as destructive. And I'll have conversations with people who are in abusive relationships. And they say, well, God calls us to forgive everyone. And so they just keep coming or going back. Is that what he means? What? How in the world what does that look like? Again, I don't think it's that we don't know to forgive. It's that we don't have any idea how. And let me make something super clear as we walk through this. God has made it very clear that we're to forgive everyone. And it's not just, well, you forgive them once and then, well, twice, maybe three times, you're out. No, that's not the conversation that Jesus has had with us. As a matter of fact, there's a situation where Peter thinks that he's going to impress Jesus. And so he goes to Jesus and he's talking about forgiveness. And he wants to show how much he's grown. He wants to be able to show, like, I get it. I need to forgive. And so he has this conversation with Jesus. Let me share it with you. It says this. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? He says, how forgiving should I be? And then he's like, I'm gonna show, I'm the bigger man, right? I'm not just gonna forgive once. I'm not just gonna forgive twice. I'm not just gonna forgive three times. He says up to seven times. And Peter thinks, like, I'm going the, look at me. Like, I've grown, Jesus. Poor Peter. He tries so hard, and it never works out for the guy. I mean, never works out for the guy. If you're here today, and that's you, like, you should feel very loved. Jesus loved Peter. And he doesn't hold that against us. And he's trying so hard. And then Jesus responds back to him. Listen to Jesus' response. So Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Whoa, wait, I thought I was doing a good job with seven. And Jesus says, no. And when he responds back with this, he's literally referring to basically infinity. He's saying, no. He doesn't mean actually 77. Some of you with your roommate are like, you're at 76. I'm just going to give you the heads up. Like, you're down to one. It's not going to be good after that. Jesus says, I don't have to forgive after that. So, that's not what he's talking about here. He's basically saying, no, there's no limit to this, guys. Let me be super clear. God, as he steps into our lives, says, no, I want for you to forgive everyone, and not just once. I want for you to be willing to forgive over and over and over again. So does that mean we just keep stepping back into that relationship? Does that mean we just act like it didn't happen? What does that look like? Can we be honest with one another for a second with the reality that we don't get it when it comes to forgiveness? What does that look like? I think it looks very different than what most of us think. I think that what God has to say about forgiveness is very different than what most of us think that God has to say about forgiveness. And that as God steps into our lives, he teaches us about a forgiveness that's a process. He calls us into forgiveness that's not just a moment, but that's a process. It's a process that we walk through with those who have offended us or those who have hurt us, those who have sinned against us. And it looks very different than what most of us think. The beginning of that process is based on just what we've already been talking about. The beginning of that process is based on justice. Again, most of us don't think that forgiveness is about justice at all, but God, as he steps into our lives, says, no, I want to teach you what it means to forgive. He calls us. Last week I said that there's two forms of forgiveness, one that leads to release, one that leads to reconciliation. They're really the same process. They're just different phases of that process, and it begins with that process of release, which is based on justice. You see it in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, God's talking to us about how to be able to respond when someone has harmed us. This is actually a quote from Deuteronomy 32. Peter also quotes it in his letter. It says this, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. God steps in our lives and he says, I want for you when someone's hurt you, I want for you to walk through something with that situation, with that circumstance, and that is this, Rather than you repaying evil for evil, he says, when someone's hurt you, don't try to get them back. Don't try to make them pay for it. Don't get stuck in this circular system of just hurting and hurting and hurting and hurting. He says, No. I want for you to be the one who breaks that cycle. And so rather than you taking vengeance, he says, this is what I want for you to do. I want for you to trust my justice. That's what he's saying. He says, I want for you to trust me with justice. I want for you to trust me with the payment. I want for you to trust me to make it right. So rather than you trying to hurt them back, rather than you trying to make them pay for it, no. I'm going to trust God to make it right. I'm not going to abandon justice. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, hey, listen, it's not that big a deal. No, he steps in and says, I want you to trust my justice. And I want you to give it to me. I want you to understand that I'll be faithful with justice, which is difficult because of God's patience. As a matter of fact, if you look at that passage we looked at last week where Peter is talking to them about God's patience, he says this. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Now, what promise is he talking about here? He's talking about God's promise of justice. He's saying God's not slow in keeping his promise of justice. As some people understand slowness, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He says, don't misunderstand God's patience with him not being faithful with justice. He will be faithful with justice, and you can trust God's justice. You can trust him to make it right. And so he steps in and he says, you can't carry that, but I can. And you can't make it right, but I can. And I don't want you to forget about it. I don't want you to act like it didn't matter. I don't want you to just move past it. No. I want you to give it to me. And trust me that it will be paid for. So trust me that it will be made right. The process of forgiveness that God has taught us and that God calls us into, it begins with a release. It's where I come to God and I say, okay, God, it's yours. This is no longer between me and them anymore. This is between them and you. Listen to me. Listen. This is no longer between them and me anymore. This is between them and you. And I trust you. I trust you to make it right. I trust you that there will be justice. I trust you that it will be paid for. Do you see how different that is than the way that most of us think about forgiveness? Could it be any more different than the way that most of us think about forgiveness? God's not calling you to abandon justice. God's calling you to embrace justice, but rather than you being the one who executes justice, you trust him that, no, I trust you to make it right. Some of you think that the message of Jesus Christ is that we just abandon justice for the world. That could not be further from the truth. Some of you think that God's just okay with the injustice of the world. That could not be further from the truth. And God promises, no. There will be justice. It will be paid for. Do not mistake my patience for a lack of justice. You can trust it. And so he steps in and says, give it to me. You can't carry it. You can't carry it anymore. For some of you, you've been carrying it so long, you don't even know what it would feel like to get rid of it. He You're so angry with your mom, and so angry with your brother, you're so angry with your sister, you're so angry, you don't even know what it would be like to get rid of it. And listen to me, because this is true for so many of you. It is robbing you of your life. And you spend hours and hours thinking about what happened to you. And you spend hours and hours thinking about how you're going to get them back and what you're going to say to them. Even though we all know you're not going to say any of it, and you're probably never even going to see them again. And some of them are gone. It's robbing you of your life. It's robbing you of your life. And God has stepped in and said, you gotta stop. You can't carry this anymore. You can't live the life I created you to live. You can't run the race I created you to run. You can't experience what I created you to experience if you keep hanging on to that weight. You gotta trust my justice. Give it to me. Come on, give it to me. Trust me. I'll make sure it's made right. I'll make sure it's paid for. Trust me. How many more hours are you going to allow it to take from you? How many more days? For some of you, it's ruining your week every week because you walk past that guy, and every time you walk past him, you say a mini prayer that he would lose his job and perhaps die on the way out the door. Don't act like you don't. I'm not the only one who's been there. All of us have been there. We laugh about it. But after they walk by, we lose the next 2 hours. You know you do. How many hours are you going to continue to give to something that produces nothing in your life? It's robbing you, and it is weighing you down. And God has said, you can't live like that anymore. And I love you too much. I love you too much for you to live like that anymore. Trust me. You can give it to me. And when you move through that process of release, it's the beginning of forgiveness. It opens the doors. It opens the doors for reconciliation. Now, reconciliation, as we're going to talk about next week, are based on confession and repentance. And so it's based on both individuals. For some of you, because of the fact that the individual isn't around anymore, because of the fact that you're never going to see the other individual again, this is the end of the process. It's a process of release. But that opens the door then for reconciliation and for the rebuilding of trust. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, reconciliation is based on confession and repentance, just as it is with you and God. And also, don't mistake the rebuilding of trust as being forgiveness. I see this all the time where people think that, well, forgiveness is just that you trust the other person now. No. Trust is not based on forgiveness. And trust is not based on, I've released what it is that you've done to me. Trust is based on demonstrated character. And I see people making this mistake all the time where they say, well, if I'm going to forgive then I have to trust them. No. I can forgive someone and not trust them. I can absolutely forgive someone and not trust them. There's nothing between you and me, but you have no character. And because of the fact that you have no character, there's not going to be intimacy. I'm not going to invite you back into my life to just continue to hurt me over and over and over and over and over again. No. That's that trust. Trust is based on demonstrated character over time. Forgiveness is, okay, there's nothing between you and me anymore. Don't make that mistake. Don't make the mistake of believing that forgiveness is how you feel about someone. That's a process of working through how you feel about someone. You can forgive someone where you say, you know what, there's nothing between us, but you know, I'm still hurt. That forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is the release of someone to the justice of God. And saying, okay, no, this isn't between me and you anymore. This is between you and them. But it does open the door for the rebuilding of trust. But that's based on demonstrated character over time. Sometimes I'll have this conversation with people and they'll say, well, you know, if you forgive me, you trust me. And I see this oftentimes in relationships. Well, you know, if she forgives me, I mean, she's my wife, she should trust me. That's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. That trust would be based on either forgiveness or relationship. Listen, trust isn't based on relationship. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest downfalls in all of Scripture is an individual who believed that trust was given based on relationship or forgiveness. It's the story of a guy named Samson. If you haven't read it before, you should go back and read it. And over again, he's betrayed. And over again, she steps into his life. He says, forgive me for that. And trust me, I love you. If you love me, you'll trust me. No. It's a story of a fool. It's a story of a fool. It's an example of what foolishness looks like in the Scripture. Don't make that mistake. What we're walking through opens the door to that, but it's not the same thing. And there are people in our lives, because of the fact that there's no character, there are people in our lives that we forgive. There are people in our lives that we can even be reconciled with. But we're not close. There's no intimacy. Why? Because there's no demonstrated character. It's not the same thing. Next week, we're going to work through that in further detail, what that looks like. But it begins in a far different way than most of us ever thought. It begins not with the abandonment of justice, but with the embrace of justice and trusting God that it will be made right. Listen to me, because for some of you, you've thought for years, it's not going to be made right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It will be made right. You say, no, they got away with it. No, it will be made right. Do not mistake God's patience with him not having justice. You can trust God's justice. And today you need to release that to him. You can't carry it any longer. Do not allow it to rob another hour from you. Not another minute. Not another second from you. Trust God's justice. And as we talk through this, the reality is, it's a simple thing, but it's a really hard thing. And many of the things that God walks us into and walks us through, they're simple things, but they're really hard. But here's the thing, listen to me. Because as you walk through this, it's going to be an ongoing process. I've experienced this, and I've lied there at night, and there's something inside of us that constantly wants to take that thing back, wants to take that weight back, that wants to, no, I want to dream about them being destroyed. And I want to think about ruining their lives. And I want to write pages and pages of what I'm going to say to them, even though I'm never going to talk to them again. There's something inside of us that wants to take that back. But listen to me, when you begin this process and you give it to him, there's a freedom there that is amazing. Some of you have experienced it in the past, but you've forgotten and you've started to accumulate the weight again. But when you walk through that, it's amazing. I was talking to Anthony afterwards and he was talking about one of his experiences with it. He's like, I literally felt 3 or 4 inches taller as I walked out after I'd forgiven that person and trusted God's justice. And when you begin to do this, it's addictive because it's amazing the freeness and the freedom that it brings into your life. But you have to trust him. And my invitation to you today is just that. I don't know what you walked in today carrying. But my experience is that most of us walked in carrying something. My invitation to you today is to leave it here with him. Don't walk out with it. Don't walk out with it. God, I trust you. It's not between me and them anymore. It's between you and them. And there will be nights where you'll have to lie there. I've done it. I've been there. Where over and over again, you have to tell yourself, no, I'm not taking it back. No, it's his. That's your responsibility, God. You took that. That's yours. That's yours. That's not mine. It's not between me. No. That's yours, God. But I want to invite you to begin the process. Leave it here. Don't let it continue to rob you. Come on. Leave it here. Trust God's justice. He loves you. Oh, he loves you far more than you know. Leave it here. He'll be faithful with it. Trust is justice. Will you pray with me? Father, this is so different from what we've previously thought, from what we previously have been told about your forgiveness. And what you call us to in forgiveness. For so many of us, we've thought that this is an abandonment of justice, that to forgive was just to decide that there would be injustice. And yet the reality is that what you're calling us to is something far different. I pray for freedom. I pray for those who are here right now and they're struggling and they're wrestling. They're wrestling with themselves because there's part of them that says, no, you can leave it here. And the other part of them says, I don't even know what I would be like if I left that behind. I don't even know what life would look like if I left that behind. And the lie is there that they can't leave it behind. Father, I pray that you'd break through all that. I thank you that you have shown time after time, and I thank you that we know that there is nothing that will be left here today that you will not pick up, that you will not make right. We trust you. Justice. In Jesus' name, amen.